Welcome to the
Idiots
Explaining
Entertainment
Extravaganza, only on GamingUncensored.com. It's D4.
Hey, what is up? Welcome to episode 3 of E4 2020. That's right, episode 3 is like 2 weeks after episode 2 because it's a weird freaking year. But nonetheless, we are here. I'm Tommy. Jamie's sitting all the way over there. How you doing, man?
It's a long way over here.
It is a long way over there.
And I just spent like 10 minutes for your daughter. And I every time I saw your daughter today for the first time in a long time.
Yeah.
And I have to say, she's getting big.
She is very big.
Like, we need some, like, bricks or something to stop that from happening, because you and I are not prepared for the growing that is happening with her.
Yes.
And I can safely say that I don't think your wife is prepared for the growing that's happening with her. Your wife looks like she needs about a 2-week spa day.
She does. Yeah. the sexy sidekick is a bit worn down. life with a 2-year-old will do that to you pretty quickly.
And I think it's funny that, like, this... her is like, that's the way you approach all of life. Like, you're tired, and I know that, and that's why we like bourbon, but it's all good, you know?
Yeah.
And like, you've done this your whole life. It don't matter what happened, ladies and gentlemen, he's all good. Yeah. Like, it could be the end of the world, and for the most part, he's all good. So
I like that there's that perception. That it definitely isn't like that all the time. There are tough moments, without a doubt.
Well, of course.
A challenge, but my nature is pretty even keel, and so it comes across that way, much to the frustration, I think, of the sexy sidekick and others who are around me at times. Dealing with stuff as we deal with them.
Yeah. And we've had a lot to deal with in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And things are ramping up again, and it's not fun.
Yeah. Yeah, this whole virus thing still exists, huh?
Yeah, it does. And,
especially in Texas. Texas is doing a great job at the moment.
We're rednecks, and we don't give a crap about masks. We don't give a crap about social distancing, and it shows. Anyway, there's one thing that I don't get about this whole virus thing, okay? And that is that they closed the bars again yesterday at noon. At what point in this version of reality that we live in, does a group of people decide, you know, I've been cooped up for a while, let's go to the bar?
Yeah.
Like, that sounds like a good lot of fun. I understand why bars are enjoyable for people. I get it. But in the time period that we're in, I'm still very selective about where I go and what I eat and kind of how things are happening, and a bar is not on that list.
Yeah, 100%. It's not, to be fair, I'm not a super social person anyway, and so bars have never been my thing. It's not something I particularly enjoy. But I haven't, like, we haven't eaten inside a restaurant since the middle of March, you know, like the week before lockdown, we sent Genevieve away for a couple of days with the grandparents. And so Lana and I had a couple of days together, and we went and ate out, you know, as kind of, you know, our one time without Genevieve, but we knew that it was just about to happen too. And they were already social distancing at the restaurant we ate at. They didn't sit anybody next to us, whatever, you know, and that was it. That was, you know, 4 months ago or whatever at this point, 3 months ago. And we love eating out. We eat out all the time. And so while I don't get going to bars, I definitely understand going out to eat and just like taking that out of my life. And honestly, with the resurgence of stuff right now, we're in no hurry to go out to eat anywhere. It's terrifying. And so It's just kind of like, yeah, I guess it's what it is. But I'm with you. I can't understand. Like, I get it a little bit. I've heard my younger brothers talking about it, and they feel invincible because they're young, and for the most part, the virus is pretty safe. I don't want to use that word. Most young people that get in don't get serious complications. That's the best way to say that, I suppose. And so they feel, like it's not going to affect them in a major way. Which, okay, kind of whatever. But you're still around other people. Like, even if you get it and you don't get real sick, you can give it to a lot of people. And it's just like, come on. Like, you just got to think about that stuff, too. Like, okay, right, I understand you want to go to the bar. But you probably have a grandma that you love a lot and you don't want to kill her. You know? It boggles my mind.
And that's kind of my thing is, like, I'm not afraid of getting sick. I don't think you are either. You hung out at my house. We hung out together and we did what we always do. And I had absolutely no fear of that. But I'm afraid of giving it to somebody else.
Yeah.
That's my fear. Like, if I get it, I'll do what I have to do and it'll be fine.
Yep.
But I have the fear of giving it to somebody else.
100%. And I'm very much, I wear a mask anytime that I go out in public right now. It's just a habit that I've gotten into. And it's weird, and I don't love it. Like, wearing a mask isn't the most fun thing ever.
No.
But I also am aware of the risk of the virus, not for me as much as if I do happen to have it, of how easily spread it is. And a mask is the best way that you can keep from spreading it easily. And so just, like, the fact that that's controversial at this point just boggles my mind. Like, it's such a minimal thing. It's a slight discomfort for the safety of people around you and people you love. And just for the life of me, I don't understand why that's controversial, why that's something that people, whatever. This is not the rant that I was intending us to go on here at the beginning of the show.
Well,
here we are.
A couple of things on that. And then I swear we'll get to games because we spent 15 minutes with your daughter, so we're lucky she's not going to bust in at the end of the show, but I'm not holding my breath.
Right.
So here's the thing with the mask. I have been at the church in the last couple of weeks because people are dumb and they're having weddings. They just are. And I'm not wearing a mask at church because I'm in the booth. And
sure,
there's not a lot of people in the booth. And when I leave, I go out the side door and I don't see a lot of people. Granted, I'm still shaking hands and doing all of that because, somebody sticks their hand out, what are you going to do? But I'm very, very conscientious of, washing my hands every 15 minutes and just taking care of things. And that's the thing, folks. This is not really that complicated. We just need to take care of the little things.
Yeah.
And if we do that, I think it'll be all good. But I was talking to a nurse yesterday that if things continue the way they are right now, we're headed for full-on lockdown again next week.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to happen again, and we're going to be on the indoor vacation plan yet again by the middle of next week, I think.
Yeah.
So
It feels like almost inevitable at this point, just watching the numbers and how quickly they're rising. It's just, how can we not, like, it's already in Texas again. We're talking from one of the hardest hit states right now of this kind of resurgence. They've already closed bars again, like you said. They've cut down restaurants back to 50%, and I could easily see that going back down pretty quickly as well. If this trend keeps going for another month, like, then we're about at the start of school. Like, what do we do with school? Like, that's the real, like, thing that is going to disrupt everything, right? Like, that was, like, school shutting down in the first place was massively disruptive and weird. Right now, we're in a place where that doesn't feel as weird because kids would be out of school anyway. But when they're supposed to go back, if we haven't gotten this thing under control and they can't go back, like, I don't know, you know, and it's just going to be this constant dance around trying to tame this thing and not get a whole bunch of people sick while trying to retain some sense of normality, which seems unlikely for, it's crazy, man.
Can we be totally honest, and maybe I'm the only one that feels this way, but I don't feel like kids going back to school is probably gonna happen, and I felt that way for a while. And because it just doesn't make sense. It's like the NFL. The NFL does not make sense.
Yeah.
Like, there's not going to be football. How could there be football?
If there is, there's definitely not going to be fans. You know, we're theoretically going to get baseball. They're talking about that. They're talking about the NBA starting back up in Florida, of all places, you know, and it's like Florida and Arizona and Texas are the three right now that's like, yeah, we'll see how long it lasts, because as soon as one player is you know, diagnosed, and the idea that they're going to keep every single player in complete lockdown for the rest of their season, whatever, seems pretty far-fetched. And as soon as one player gets it, they're going to have to shut everything down again. And it's going to be rough.
So let me just say this, and then we'll get off of this. Duff. This is what I was trying to tell you when we started the horrendous weekend that we experienced. And by the way, when you left my house, everything went back to normal. I don't understand. But this is what I told Duff when we started the weekend that didn't turn out so well. I told him that we, as a show, you and me, would really benefit from being in the same neighborhood. Because with all of this stuff going on and people being weird the way they are, like, you and I are fine. Like, believe it or not, we're hermits. So so if we were in the same neighborhood hanging out, like, you guys would probably get about 6 hours of Gaming Uncensored a day. So, that's kind of what needs to happen for us. For the rest of you guys, for those of you that are worried about us, I heard from Nick the Swiss. Nick the Swiss is extremely worried about Jamie and Tommy, which I find amazing. Because
I love that guy.
Dude's in Switzerland, and he's emailing me going, bro, you all right?
Yeah. Tells you something about how things are going here, you know?
Yeah.
our buddy in Switzerland is like, y'all dead yet?
And he's done that twice. Like, bro, is there anything I can do for you? Will you let me know if you're okay? And I really appreciate that. For everybody that wonders, we're good, we're happy. We're in better moods than we should be, considering all of the stuff that's going on. I dare say that you and I are in better moods than most people on a daily basis, despite everything that's going on. And so we're in good shape, and we hope everybody else is too.
Yeah. And if you have a job right now where you're having to go in to work, wherever you are, it doesn't matter worldwide where you are right now. It's still happening everywhere, even if it's not as drastic in places. Be safe, and we're thinking about y'all. We're fine. Make sure that you're staying safe and taking care of yourself and doing everything you need to do in that.
Absolutely. And with that being said, we're going to talk about lots of death and destruction right now.
Yes. Even a pandemic, which would be a fun place to start. We could just mention that here at the top, talk a little bit about The Last of Us, and then get into Cyberpunk and EA are the two things that have happened since last we did a show, the kind of E3-ish things we'll get into momentarily. But we've been playing, well, I've been playing The Last of Us 2. You've been catching up with the original game. I'm not terribly far into The Last of Us 2. I've got 3 or 4 hours at this point, which is already fantastic. But I want to hear your thoughts of going through the original and just trying to get up to speed of what you're feeling.
Well, so let me tell the story real quick. You told me, you sent me a text and you said, I picked up The Last of Us 2 and I'm starting it. And I had this amazing debate in my head where it's like, should I just watch a recap or whatever? And this little voice in my brain said, no, that entire game's all about story. You have to see it. And I am more than halfway through. It's a 10 or 11 hour experience played straight through. And I am more than halfway through. And I have to say, that little voice in my brain was completely right. I would have done myself a massive disservice had I not done this. I'm watching the remaster somebody put up on June the 20th. Somebody put up a playthrough of the remaster on PS4 Pro. And it's actually the same guy that did Half-Life Alyx that I watched.
Oh, nice.
And so this is what this guy does. And so I started watching that, and my goal was to be through it and done with it by the time we did a show. And I figured we would do the show tomorrow, so I'd get farther today. And then you were like, bro, can we do it today? And so I was like, cool. And so I've been trying to squeeze as much in as I can. And I'm more than halfway there. They just got to the hydro plant. And I have to say, as far as dramatic entertainment, as far as storytelling devices, as far as a way to keep somebody engaged, this series and Naughty Dog as a company is the best out there, period.
Yeah,
it's not close. I'm watching what basically amounts to an interactive movie, and I don't mean that in a bad way. It's extraordinarily well done, and first and foremost, and I want to bring this up because you brought it up on the Facebook page, the characters are some of the best written, best voice acted, best captured characters in gaming, period.
Yeah.
And I know that you had a small issue. And
we'll talk about that in a bit.
I have a couple of gripes, but The Last of Us is one of those things. I'm watching the remaster, as I said, and The Last of Us is one of those that we're gonna look back on in 10 years, and it will have held up.
Yes,
because it's extraordinary. And the graphics are good enough that we'll be able to go back in 10 years and say, man, this was good.
Yep. And we live in the era when remakes happen all the time. Remasters, let me say remasters instead of remakes there. But that you can go in and sharpen up textures and make it look a little prettier for whatever the current generation expectations are, which is a fantastic thing. It helps games hold up. Like, you are watching the remaster right now, it holds up even a little bit better because it's cleaned up a little bit from what the original is. And so you're absolutely correct. It's going to hold up. It is going to be one that people go back to over and over again. So it is. Naughty Dog, one of the things I'll just mention really quick in general about Naughty Dog is they really, you know, we have two franchises that we talk about with Naughty Dog. And while they're both super cinematic, like maybe the most cinematic games out there, they feel like playing a movie or watching a movie because they're so cinematic, because they're so character and dialogue driven, that it's so scripted, but in a way that doesn't feel scripted, you know, that it just... they just are wonderful experiences, but they're so radically different from each other, Uncharted and The Last of Us. In that Uncharted is this campy, you know, kind of over the top, ridiculous, goofy at times experience. And The Last of Us is just somber and sucks all the time, you know, like, in the best way possible.
It does. It's
so dark.
And Sam said something about The Last of Us too, that nobody was innocent and nobody, like, there was no quote good people. And I would say that about the original.
Oh yeah.
I mean, like, the best character out of the original by far, and the character that I believe drives the second one, is Ellie. And what gets me about Ellie is everything about Ellie is so perfectly cast. I feel like I should know who that voice actress is.
Yeah.
But she's exceptional.
Yeah.
And I assume it's the same lady that does the older version of Ellie.
I'm not sure. That's a good question, actually.
But the writing is ridiculous. And I hear Chad in my head going, how have you never done this before now? I knew enough about this game to be able to talk about it on the show. And the reason that I've never gone and done this before now, it's a weird place that we live in, that I can fire up my YouTube and there's a guy that's making money off of a playthrough of The Last of Us, and I can watch it. And you would say to yourself, well, that's a good thing, right? But one thing that I'm frustrated, I love the fact that we have this ability that I can at least experience the game, but I'm watching this going, as good as this is, it would be a whole lot better if Tommy was sitting here and we were running through this together. So to Chad and Sam and everybody else wondering, how the crap have I done this show for as long as I've done this show and not sat down and watch through The Last of Us, and why I don't do that with current games? The reason I don't is because my hope is that at some point we'll get to play through them, because that's the way they're designed. As thankful as I am to have this ability to watch some guy on YouTube play through a game so that I can see it and experience it, that's not the way that I want to do that. And I kept putting The Last of Us off because I thought, okay, we're going to get there. And we just haven't. And now it's time for the second one. And I'm right. Like, okay, I got to get through this so that I can talk reasonably about it on the show, because it's the biggest, it's one of the biggest games of the year.
And, for sure.
And we're going to, it's not going to just be this one show. We're going to be talking about The Last of Us for the rest of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And so I'll just really quickly say, we'll talk more about The Last of Us 2 soon. We're not going to talk more about it right now. Insofar as I'll mention, just because I'd love to hear some other people's thoughts on this one point that I posted over on Facebook. So far, it seems like I'm crazy, which is totally fair. The one little teeny tiny, and like I said, it's so minuscule as a complaint that I have. But the facial animations just are weird to me. Just are a little bit uncanny valley to me. Just make me a little bit uncomfortable watching them. The acting is phenomenal. Again, it's a testament both to the direction and Neil Druckmann and what he's done with this franchise and this cast, and the actors coming in, that they're just pro. And to think about the the stereotype that a video game actor was when we started doing this show, which, I mean, we've been doing this show for a long time at this point, right? But still, like, not even when we were like five, but when we were in college, like, video game acting, quote unquote, was just a joke. Like, it was just the most ridiculous thing. It was so cheeseball. And these are like, when are we going to get awards in like major acting in the Academy Awards for video games? Because like, they're deserving of this. It is such a challenging and different thing to do acting for a video game. And the fact that, you know, animation is considered in that way, like video games just needs to come on board in that same way as well. Because it is an art all in itself, and it's phenomenally done. So, that said, the facial animations look weird to me, and so if they look weird to you, let me know. If I'm crazy, that's fair. Everybody so far says I'm crazy, and I'm okay with that.
So I'm wondering. I have a theory about why you're seeing what you're seeing. We have told people many times that we are the cheapest people on the face of the planet. And you bought your TV a while ago, and I bought my TV a while ago. And I'm wondering if part of what you're seeing is, A, that you're not playing on a 4K display, because the remaster that I'm watching is supposedly a 4K remaster. I'm not watching in 4K. So it makes me wonder what would be different if I were watching in 4K. It makes me wonder how it would be different if I had a higher refresh rate screen. I saw that picture that Chad posted on Facebook, and I'm trying to like the guy, I swear.
He makes it difficult.
Yeah, he does. He really makes it hard. That's got to be like, what, a 65?
I think he said 70-something.
Yeah. So I wonder if that has something to do with it.
I thought of that. I really don't think it is. I really think it's just a personal taste thing, because it really is. It's just how their faces move. And I can't imagine how a higher refresh rate or a higher resolution is going to change that in any drastic way. Like, it's the actual capture, the actual mocap of the facial movements. It's only the face. It's only like in dialogue when like there's these sentimental moments. You see all the little motions in their face. I want to it reminds me of something that I teach about. There's a great TED talk. I know this is way off, but just again, I'm crazy, but this is why I'm crazy. Here's my rationale and my craziness. There's this great TED talk that's about using really high rate cameras to capture motion and then amplifying that motion. I teach it in my acoustical physics class because they do this little experiment where they put a camera on like a bag of chips and capture the vibration of the bag of chips with a camera with sound happening in the room where the camera can't hear it, but it's reflecting off the bag of chips. And they're actually able to recreate the sound that is playing just based on the vibrations of this camera pointed at a bag of chips, which is fascinating, right? But in that same demonstration, they do this thing where it just shows a guy's face, where they do this motion camera on his face, motion microscope is what they call it, on his face, and then they like amplify all the little movements, and it's like your visual sensitivity is ramped up to 11, and it just kind of gets under your skin. And that's exactly what I feel watching just how the movements happen. It's just something about them. Again, I don't know. A little uncanny valley-ish. It is the most minor detail. And again, everything else about it is incredibly fantastic. And the game is going to be incredibly fantastic. It is so dark and so heavy from the very beginning of that game that it throws you right in, and it's nuts. And we'll talk about it later.
So real quick before we get off this, since we're griping, I have one little gripe.
Yep. I like gripes.
And I'm glad. Because again, they're going to call me crazy right along with you. And one thing that we have not talked about is that the audio in these games, in the remaster and in The Last of Us 2, is some of the best audio out there, period. Yes.
But fantastic.
As far as directional audio, this guy, I don't like, in general, I do not like captions, even though, because I struggle to read them. I know you run with them all the time because you live in a house with a 2-year-old.
Right.
but in this game, captions are absolutely necessary because he's constantly ahead of Ellie and they're talking to each other back and forth. And in some of those spaces, you can hear her, but not really well enough to understand what she said.
Yep.
Unless you have the captions on. And I would not call that a plus in most situations. And in this game, it's a huge deal. The audio is so good. But the gripe that I have is that the enemies in the game, the quote-unquote zombies in the game, are based off of sound, right?
Uh-huh.
It's all about sound. And we got to be quiet. And we got to be like, they can hear us, and echolocation, all of that. Like, the guy that I'm watching is playing this thing on hard. And they'll come up on a group of clickers and like they're having a conversation, but oh, we gotta be quiet. And the thing that kills me is that he'll sneak up and choke one out, or sneak up and choke out another bad guy. Nobody hears it.
Yeah,
and I'm going, come on, like this is a major fulcrum of your entire setup here that these things can hear, right? Yeah. And they just don't react.
Yeah.
And it drives me nuts.
Yeah, the same thing still exists in the second one. That you know, there's clickers and runners that are all kind of together, and the runners you want to take out because they can see you because they're not blind yet. Mm. And so, like, you go and you sneak up behind a runner, and you like go to like stealth kill it, and it's like, but it's dying, and you're like, "There's a clicker right there, man! Shut up!" You know, the clicker never notices for whatever reason, but like,
yeah.
You know, if like you sneeze, then it's all over kind of thing. It's a weird thing. Like that stood out to me like already in the second one, just as much as I've played of it. That I don't mind too much because it would make the game insanely harder if you couldn't sneak kill the runners while the clickers are around.
Right.
The clickers, they could be facing you and it doesn't matter. But the runners, if they see you, they come after you and they alert everybody because they scream and do whatever. So yeah, it as a gameplay element, I'm happy it's that way. But yeah, it does break a little bit of immersion because of that, because it is such a central component to the game of how these fungal infected,
I mean, like
whatever
work. Like him and Ellie are like having a conversation in front of one, and I'm like, you should be dead.
Yeah.
You know, like it's all you've done. That's it.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's one of my major, mainly because the entire basis of the game revolves around that. And it's not like in the end it really doesn't matter. And that's one thing about me watching this that I'm realizing it will never happen, but I would be ecstatic if this ever ended up in a package on the PC, because this is one of those games that I could be really good at.
Yeah.
Like the Splinter Cell Metal Gear sneaky type stuff. I can do that. And I've been watching this going, I can play this. And I would die, but I'd get through it.
Yeah.
Like the only sections that I would struggle are the quick press sections and you know, the ones where you got to jam on a given button. Like, I'm going to die there every time. But the rest of it, I could do. And that's one thing that I didn't realize the guy that I'm watching is playing almost exclusively stealth. And I don't really see how you could play it another way.
No.
Like, it seems like you would have to. And it kind of makes me sad because, like I said, I'm watching it going, I could play this. This is one of those, it's like Splinter Cell. I could do this. On the sound side of things, they really need to add that satisfying Metal Gear neck snap. Like, yeah. Because I can't really tell when he takes somebody from behind if he just put them to sleep or if they're dead.
Yeah.
You know, I know they're dead because, you know, if the clickers wake up, you don't want that to happen.
Right.
But there's not really a neck snap, you know? You need that Metal Gear neck snap that is so satisfying.
Yeah, in two, Ellie just stabs him in the neck every time, and it's wonderfully rewarding. Like, it's just fantastic. Just throat stab, and they're gone. And so you don't question it there. You know. There's blood and noise and all kinds of fun stuff. Again, why the clickers don't hear it, beyond me, but whatever.
Yeah, it's great. We love it. I'm going to watch the end of this. I have about 4 hours left. I'm going to watch the end of this. And then I'm going to catch up with you before you're like 6 hours into it. Probably. And we're going to have a lot to talk about. These games are great. If you're not playing them, you need to be. Like, this is a game to go buy a PlayStation 4 for.
100%.
Like, if you don't have a PlayStation, you've been looking for a reason, this is it.
Yep. 100%. So. Yep. All that said, let's talk about some of the gaming news. I'll just really quickly mention our Patreon guys because they're awesome and they make our lives fun, including being able to do things like buy The Last of Us 2 and play through that. So thanks, Cabbage, Jose, Narc, Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kavash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, and Sam. We appreciate y'all so much. And I'll mention we will have a roundtable coming up. We're planning on next week, and so you'll be seeing details about that pretty soon for the Patreon guys. So, two kind of big things have happened. Like I said, since last we did a show, we got the first episode, because this is going to be an ongoing thing, which I didn't even realize until I watched the first one, of the Cyberpunk 2077 Night City Wire. And so they're going to have these little 30-minute things every few weeks, a month or so, until the thing launches, apparently, just giving us a little more taste. So that happened, and as importantly, maybe more importantly, a bunch of gaming journalists actually got an early copy of the beginning of the game to play through and got like 4 hours with it. And so there's also all of these hands-on impressions out there. So you can go read tons of those. They're all over the place. We need to be cool enough to be getting those things. We are not yet, so we have to go read other people's. But if you're wanting to know about Cyberpunk, there's tons of details there. And then EA had an EA Play, which to me was a bit underwhelming, honestly, but we'll talk about that.
Now, Cyberpunk. I watched it last night in bed, and I had to fight to stay awake.
Yeah, I believe you. It was very obvious that they weren't doing E3, right? Like, if this were E3, they would have come with a lot more. They went, oh, we don't have to do E3, and so we don't have to put out a bunch of stuff that's going to be really hype-heavy, and we can just talk about a few things, which I did, and we'll get into that in a bit. But let's talk about Cyberpunk first, because I think that's the more fun one, honestly, and it's the one that happened most recently. And so we got a big, long new trailer, so if you haven't seen the new trailer, go find the new trailer, but I'm sure you have at this point. And we got a little bit of details about a gameplay mechanic that's called Brain Dance. That's what they spent a lot of time in this one talking about, which is essentially, the way I understand it, at least an investigator mode that you get to kind of live through the experience of somebody else. It's kind of this Matrix-y type situation where he like jacked into this dude's memory, kind of, but was able to explore the area around this dude to find some details in the audio, which was really fun. Just as an audio geek, I really enjoyed that aspect of it, but also being able to like track different people and like being able to isolate this weapon, analyze it, see what happens with it, and on and on and on, using tapping into a security camera and this little shop that this whole thing went down in or whatever that they're talking about is going to be a big part of the kind of game experience, which is cool. It's fun to see. Not only like we already have seen driving mechanics. We've seen some of the kind of gameplay stuff. They've talked about, you know, being the kind of hacker kind of gameplay or the brute kind of force gameplay. We've seen some of that at play. We hadn't ever seen any of the kind of more puzzle stuff, and this is very puzzle heavy. And I personally love that kind of stuff. Those are my favorite parts of games like this. And so I was particularly excited to see this play out and just seeing the potential of what they could do with this. It reminded me in a way of like Watch Dogs and how you can like tap into security cameras and stuff in Watch Dogs. It feels like that, but much more futuristic. I don't know. It seems really cool. I really dig that.
I like it a lot. I thought it was very well put together. And you really had to pay attention to every aspect of what's going on when you're involved in this, which I really like. And the thing with Cyberpunk, which I haven't figured out how they're going to remedy, I guess they're probably not going to. It's got the same problem that Skyrim's got. Is that if you play through it one time and you try real hard to get all the important stuff, you're going to miss like 40%.
Right.
Like, you just are. You're gonna play through it a second and a third time. And you're going to see stuff that you've never seen before. It is dense beyond anything else. And I'm going to circle back around to the brain dance deal. They showed this a couple of different ways. And when they get to the point where they stop it and rewind and they're playing around with the audio, I realized in watching the scene how much crap I missed. Like, I didn't see there was a security camera there. I didn't see there was another person in the store. And it got me thinking, can you imagine how much stuff you're just gonna walk over in a dense world that's like Cyberpunk? You're going to miss stuff every 30 seconds.
Yep.
And I don't know how they're going to get around that. Seriously.
Yep. Yeah, no, it's a very good point. And it's the thing that I've heard most, the word that I've seen the most or heard in watching videos of people who have played that 4-hour demo is density, or how dense it is. Just talking about how just completely packed the game is, the world is, Night City is, that there's just stuff everywhere. And you're undoubtedly going to miss stuff. And in a lot of ways, like, that's what we want, right? Like, we want a game that's so deep and so immersive and so realistic that you can't possibly catch it all, because in real life, we just can't possibly catch it all. You know, like, just like real life, we miss stuff all the time. There's things around us that that we just don't notice all the time. And so in a world like this, in a deep, big game like this, that's kind of what we want to see. It's both super exciting and super intimidating. Like, it also like makes me fear this game so much of like, oh my God, how much of my time is this game going to eat? Because the world just looks so freaking cool. I just want to explore every inch of it. And every inch looks like it's going to be packed with stuff to explore, you know, like there's just... That's playing The Last of Us, very different because it's not open world, you know, but I'm like looking in every corner, and often you'll go and find something, but it's sparse, purposely sparse. Like, that's part of The Last of Us. It's a game more about isolation. And I just like playing that and looking at Cyberpunk and kind of having those both in my head at the same time and just thinking about, like, in this corner, if I were just to walk over to this side of the room in Cyberpunk, there'd be 27 things to do probably, you know, like, it's just that, at least that's the feel we get so far. It may not end up being quite that, but that's what people are talking about, and that's what it looks like, and that's both super exciting and, again, really, really intimidating.
And I have to give props to my guy. I've been meaning for the last couple of days to send Jeff Keighley a "nice job, man" on Twitter, for the last little while. But man, that guy is pulling out all the stops. Like, I don't know if he's getting paid for all this. I don't, he has to be from somewhere. I don't know how he's getting all this done, but his stream was the one that I watched.
Yeah.
And what I heard from him was, I spent 4 hours in this thing yesterday, and I woke up thinking about it this morning, and I'm still thinking about it, and I want back in.
Yeah.
And that is, you're talking about how much time it's going to take from you. I was looking at it going, this is a 300-hour experience.
Yeah.
Like, this is 300 hours. And the other thing that terrifies me is, how are you and I, the upstanding people that we are, going to be able to play this on a regular basis? Because there is nothing even remotely appropriate in this game,
yeah,
for the environments that we live in.
Yeah, not even slightly.
And you can... I can hear the people making fun of us now going, you're adults, lock the door, do this. No. No. Like, we're going to have to play this in a dark room with a locked door, with headphones, because I know that I'm going to walk around the corner and I'm going to see something that somebody would take offense to.
Yep.
That's the thing that gets me, is like, not only how are we going to find the time to play this, but like, this does not fit our lifestyles at all.
Yeah.
It's not Animal Crossing.
It is not Animal Crossing, yeah. The little girl's not going to be talking about Night City on a regular basis. That is for darn sure. I have the same problem with The Last of Us right now. I can't touch that game. It's very similar, you know. It's zombies or zombie-ish things. And then on top of that, like, again, just within the first, like, 3 hours, there was a sex scene. You didn't see anything, but you know what's happening. There's drugs. There's tons and tons of killing. Every other word is a curse word. Like, it's just, yeah, there's just no moments of it that you could really play that aren't adult. And I think Cyberpunk is going to be the most adult game that we've ever seen. Like, you know, like, so much of it already, like, just what they've showed off the other day just centers around sex work, you know, and like an escort service and all this stuff. Like, it's just going to be permeated through every part of this game. You can't touch it with anybody around that doesn't need to be seeing that stuff.
Yeah, and we both got those people.
Yes.
We just do. And we may be, again, I think the roundtable next week is going to be interesting, because I think we're going to have a lot of guys snickering at us going, what reality do you with it?
Right.
But we're serious. There's going to be very, 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 very small windows where I am able to play the game on a regular basis. I know you're the same way. Your daughter's getting big, but she ain't that big. And
yeah, she's actually at kind of the worst point for it right now, you know, because she's obviously super impressionable and she just repeats everything she hears. And so obviously just audio, I want to be aware of that. But also she understands what's going on, you know, like she's at the point where she asks questions and is interested in stuff, and it's so much fun. But it also means, like, all of a sudden we're very, very cognizant of what we're putting in front of her and TV shows we were watching a year ago with her around, you know, kind of not thinking much of, because she doesn't know any better. Like, now she kind of knows better. And so, like, when she starts repeating some inappropriate jokes, we're kind of like, oh, right, you can hear and you can understand these words, even if you don't know the inappropriateness of what you're saying. Like, you can repeat them back. And that would be really embarrassing to us in front of certain people, you know? And so
your in-laws. Thank you very much.
Very much. yes. And so it is, yeah, important that we find time. And that's, again, I'm playing The Last of Us now. I'm getting in an hour or two a night, you know, after she goes to bed while I'm doing some work. And so it's an hour or two of me playing a game is maybe an hour of actual gameplay happening. And it is what it is, you know, like that's just, that's the world that I live in and how I play games. It just means something like Cyberpunk's going to take a while to get through because it's, like you said, pretty limited windows of time. But it's going to be, and this is what The Last of Us is for me right now too, very similar in the kind of level of games I think these will probably be. Every moment I can find to play The Last of Us, I am. You know, as soon as she goes to bed, I'm like, okay, fire it up and get as much time into this as I can. You know, like, I really, really want to play this game, and so I'm going to prioritize it where I have time to prioritize it. It's just finding that time. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Outside of that, like I said, there's tons of other hands-on stuff, and so if you want to know just kind of the what people are saying, the big takeaways I've heard are the density of it is fantastic. The world is super immersive. People seem to really, really enjoy it, like you were saying with Jeff Keighley. I really think the mark of a really, really great game is that you just think about it when you're not playing it. I was thinking about The Last of Us at 4 o'clock this morning, you know, like, I was like, oh man, I want to get back into that. That's what it sounds like people were left with. But there were also complaints that, like, some of the character customization stuff, how you play the character, doesn't really come into fruition, at least in the first 4 hours of the game. And okay, maybe I understand it, especially if you're looking at a really, really long experience. But the difference between playing, like, a brute force character versus a sneak and hack character doesn't really make a lot of difference, at least in so far as people have played it.
Here's what I'll let you finish, and then I got a couple of things on that.
Yep. And the other one that I've heard a lot of people complain about is just a driving mechanic, which we kind of knew was probably going to suck. Apparently, it's just not great. And so maybe it gets better before the game actually releases. But, I mean, I can't tell you a game, even Grand Theft Auto. Like, I'm so annoyed by the driving in Grand Theft Auto, and then obviously that's a key component of Grand Theft Auto. There is one more bit of news that we got. There is a district outside the city, essentially. It's called the Badlands, I think is what they call it. That's, like, really desert area, but you can go out there, and there's, like, special events that happen in the Badlands and that kind of stuff. So driving is going to be a big component, even though the city itself feels really dense and driving there may not be as necessary. Once you get outside the city, obviously it's going to be a bigger deal, and if it sucks, you may not want to do that very often.
Now I can tell you I'm not going to choose a nomad character class because they do a lot of driving. I'm not interested in that. It doesn't even look good. I don't care if you got a controller or not. I don't want to do that any more than I have to. The other thing about the character class is not coming into play. I am in the process and have been for several months of trying to finish the last book of The Wheel of Time. I have all of those books on Audible. And the last book of The Wheel of Time, for those of you that don't know, The Wheel of Time is on the same level or probably even better than The Lord of the Rings. It's that same kind of a thing, and it's very detail-oriented. Like, the guy will spend a page and a half talking about somebody's suit that they're wearing. And so I've been trying to finish this book for the last 3 months, and it's 40-some hours of audio. And if you read a Lord of the Rings book, it's that similar type of thing. And the way that I'm thinking about Cyberpunk is in that kind of vein, in that, yeah, you're not going to, your quest really isn't going to matter until you're 20 or 30 hours in. Because the first 10 hours, like, that's the prologue. Right. You're still trying to figure out how stuff works.
Yeah.
I don't care how they have it labeled. That's what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
I was not overstating. Was not a Jamie Jordan overstatement earlier when I said this is a 300-hour title. And the way that I know that is that I have 160 in Skyrim. And that was how many years ago?
Yeah.
And I'm not wandering around looking for stuff to do. This is doing quests.
Yeah.
Right? So I think that's the thing with the character class. They just haven't been in it long enough.
I hope that's the case. I really do that. I really want, you know, how you kind of customize your character, how you make your character to matter, you know, to be a part of how gameplay works. And so I imagine it probably will. How much it'll matter will be something that we're probably talking about after the game comes out. But that, as a complaint, seems like it's one that's probably going to get better as you just get deeper into the game. The driving one, I think we all kind of saw that was probably not going to be great. Just doesn't look great. Just whatever. So is what it is. That Cyberpunk, we're going to come back and talk Cyberpunk. They're going to be doing more of these things in the near future, and so we'll have plenty to talk about. Quickly, let's talk about EA and what they showed and maybe a little bit of what they didn't show. I'll just run through it really quick, and then we can pick up some of the highlights. So started with some Apex Legends stuff, some new stuff coming to Apex Legends, some crossplay, all that's fun, coming to Switch. Cool, cool, cool. Sims and other EA games are now on Steam. Cool.
Yeah.
I think you still have to go through Origin to run them, though.
I saw that
somewhere. Right. So whatever.
Weird.
I know, like, Ubisoft is that way, that I had Assassin's Creed in Steam and it would boot up Uplay when I opened it in Steam, you know, so whatever. There were three indie titles they talked about. Joseph Ferris of Hazelight, which is Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, and A Way Out, which are both kind of these cult successes.
That guy's great, by the way.
And that dude is just, yeah, he's a trip. He's got a new game. It's called It Takes Two. Again, it's this co-op emotional thing. It's what he does, what Hazelight does, and it looks great. And so that's cool. Lost in Random looks like a Tim Burton movie with a little pet dice that follows you around. I don't get it, but it's really cool looking, and so whatever. Rocket Arena is this kind of esports thing that apparently already exists, and now EA is going to be publishing it. Star Wars Squadrons, they talked about that. They actually kind of did a little bit of announcement before the EA Play with just a trailer and talking about it, but they went into some more detail there, and we'll talk about that in a bit. Did some EA Sports stuff, Madden and FIFA, we know what that is. Very, very, very brief tease of next-gen stuff. Didn't really show us anything. Teased what I think is probably Dragon Age and a little bit of a screenshot / slight video thing, but nothing to speak of there. And then ended with the announcement of a new skate game that they didn't show anything about. It's apparently super early in development. Everybody's been hoping for and waiting for a big skate game or a new skate game. And so that got a lot of buzz just because it's been so desired for so long. But they didn't have anything. And I love Tony Hawk. I never played Skate, really. I don't care about this franchise as much personally, so it just didn't resonate with me. But the internet kind of freaked out over it, which I get. And that was it. That's what we got from EA. And like I said, if that were E3, it would have been like massively disappointing. But of course, if it would have been E3, they would have brought more stuff. They just didn't bring everything they have because it wasn't E3. And so they're going to do it a little bit more incrementally, pretty much like everybody else is.
And like, okay, whatever. I mean, I can't really say anything about EA at this point because they had me with Mass Effect Andromeda.
Right.
And I'm playing that and enjoying that. And I the only reason that I haven't put 15 more hours into that is because I'm watching The Last of Us. During this thing, I realized we talked about last time we were on the air about how these video, whatever they are, experiences are beneficial, and how we would like to keep them even after things eventually open back up before we die. But in this, I saw the worst of what this can be, and
yeah.
Sony sort of does the same thing with the state of play thing, because they are, I could tell, kind of like what you said, the EA was like, yeah, we got more stuff, but we're not going to show you that right now. We're going to string it out, and we're going to make you wait, because there's nothing you can really do about it. I mean, there's no E3, so Yeah, you're not going to get Dragon Age. You're not going to get new Mass Effect. They just kind of gave us what they had. And that's okay, I guess. But the problem with it is that, A, until you said it, I didn't even realize it happened.
Right.
You're like, let's talk about EA. And I'm like, oh, crap, did that happen? And it happened a week ago. Like, you were here, basically. Yeah. And I don't know. And I'm not really going to be looking for the next one. That's the thing with that kind of bothers me.
Yeah.
Because they don't really have anything that I like have to see.
Yeah, it's 100% fair. And they have stuff that we care about. It's not that EA doesn't have stuff that we care about. In fact, I would say EA has done a great job in recent years of really making me care about their stuff, of having some really good, compelling stuff. But they didn't have to show it, and they didn't. It showed that they didn't have to show it, and we kind of got, again, Star Wars Squadrons, we can talk about for just a little bit. It's a space combat Star Wars game, which is a great idea in itself and could be really cool, and I hope it's a really, really fun game.
Do you remember Rogue Squadron on the N64?
Yeah.
That's exactly what that was.
Yeah.
I said Rogue Squadron 2.0 when I saw it.
Yeah, very much so. And that's great. There's nothing wrong with that. I don't know that it has a ton of longevity for me. It's a game that I'd like to pick up and just play around with a little bit. But I don't know that it's something that I'm going to play with for any sustained amount of time.
It's like Battlefront. It's that same kind of a thing. Like, you pick it up and you're like, ah, it's cool. Go.
Yeah. Great for, you know, my hour that I played with it, and then I moved on with my life, and now it's whatever, you know. And it just kind of is what it is, and that's fine. But the one thing that's cool I'll mention about Squadrons is the whole thing's going to be playable in VR, which I really dig, because that seems like a fun kind of game to have in VR. It's going to make me super sick in VR, but the idea of playing that game in VR is kind of like what I think that VR is about, you know, like that's where I see
but
VR being really strong.
I will say that I don't know if I told you this, but we talked about it before you left. To prep yourself for that, I bought a copy of Elite Dangerous, and now that I've done some research, I've figured out that the show has a copy of Elite Dangerous, and I told Duff that at some point we all three need to be playing.
Yeah.
That would be a really cool game for the three of us to be playing. So you've got that to prep yourself for.
Yes.
Squadrons.
Yeah, which already has made me sick as a dog in VR. But it's fun, and so I dig it. And so we'll see what happens. But again, that was kind of it. And so, yay, glad we got games, but I'm looking forward to more, you know, like I'm excited to hear from EA more when we have more of EA stuff coming, but just for what is usually a really fun time of year where we get all these big announcements and everything else, this one just kind of felt like an any other time of year presentation, you know, like there wasn't anything that felt particularly exciting or E3 about this. This could have happened in, you know, February, and it would have been, okay, cool, Star Wars Squadrons, and they announce a new skate title, and that would be a newsy moment for that week, and then we'd all move on, and it just happened in June, you know, when we would expect it to be E3, and just because it's not, it just kind of landed with a thud.
Well, one thing that is sort of intriguing to me, not intriguing enough for me to actually do anything, but they brought up the fact that Command & Conquer Remastered,
right,
has mods.
Yes.
And that, to me, is super intriguing, because as I've been telling you guys, I've been playing Andromeda with mods, and Andromeda is a whole other game with mods. It's a whole other thing. It's fantastic. It's not like a 10 out of 10, but it's a good solid 8. And I don't really want to play Command & Conquer from 10 years ago or 15 years ago, 20 years ago, however long ago that was.
A long time.
But I would play it for mods.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair.
Like, that's kind of cool. Terrible.
Yeah. Kind of cool. Yeah. But again, that's a pretty minor thing in the scheme of things, if that's what you're bringing. Still not super hyped about your presentation overall. So we'll see. We've got Ubi and Microsoft in July. Don't know what either of those will bring at this point. Obviously, the hype around Microsoft's going to be pretty high. And we hope we're going to get some Assassin's Creed Valhalla happening at Ubi. Both of those things would be really, really fun. And so we should have some fun stuff happening. But we're in a little bit of a lull right now. We'll see what happens over the next couple of weeks.
We're in a lull, which is a good thing because we got to play The Last of Us 2.
Yes. Yeah. So. That's what everybody is doing in the gaming world. And so maybe fortunate that we're getting some space to do that. So,
yeah. So a couple of things before we wrap up. Just want to mention, I feel like that because Cyberpunk has been delayed till the 19th, which we found out last week, I feel like that it's going to kind of be a lull until about the Christmas season.
Yeah.
Because I myself am very doubtful that Cyberpunk's going to be ready by the 19th. I figure if they push it to the 19th, why not just push it to Christmas? Like, I kind of am doubting the fact that they're going to be ready. And by the way, I'm pretty okay with that.
Yes.
Because I don't have time or space or right. I don't have the appropriate gear. I am not ready for Cyberpunk. So I'm not mad that they pushed it. I feel like that because of the way that things are shaping up and because of the way that we open the show, that we may be entering a fairly serious lull. Because we don't have that run-up to the holiday season. You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, we've got Ghost of Tsushima coming next month, and we'll see what that is. I think it may not be, you know, it's not going to be The Last of Us. We got the biggest game of the year is out right now. Well, one of the two, assuming Cyberpunk actually comes out this year. If Cyberpunk comes out this year, The Last of Us 2 and Cyberpunk are the two biggest games. Final Fantasy VII Remake is what it is, but it's not The Last of Us 2. It's not Cyberpunk. And so those are the top tier. And so you get one of those in June, you get one of those in November, December, somewhere around there. And so you kind of get both of those worlds. And then on the other side of things, we'll see if Ghost of Tsushima is, you know, a solid B title around, you know, what Final Fantasy VII Remake is. That's super fun. And again, may not be quite the level of what The Last of Us 2 or Cyberpunk is. There's one I'm missing in there. There's something else that's coming out in the fall that I just can't think of off the top of my head. That's another one of those titles that's going to be that same kind of thing. So there are a few. I would just argue the fact that Cyberpunk is the big thing it is, that's going to create the sense of a lull because we're waiting for this big, big title that we know is going to be massive, and so everything else kind of feels smaller in perspective.
Well, and on that note, I'm glad that you brought that up because I'm about to make a Jamie Jordan statement here that I'll eat a ton of crow for later, in that we know The Last of Us is good. We know that that's stellar. We've seen enough of the internet to know that's stellar. We know Cyberpunk's going to be good. I wonder if they have stalled too long in Ghost of Tsushima, because we know it's coming, and right now I'm kind of thinking about it going, yeah, that's cool, but you know, like, I want to play it, but it ain't on this level.
Right. It's going to benefit from its launch date, right, in that it's not competing with these other big, big titles that are also coming out this year. And so, it makes a difference. So, yeah. All that said, it's a really good year in gaming. Just between Final Fantasy VII Remake and The Last of Us 2 so far, and Cyberpunk, if it does land this year, which I'm still hopeful for, that's going to be a really, really solid year gaming. By the way, one other bit of Cyberpunk news that you jogged my memory on. They did officially announce in the Night City Wire that it will be the same situation on PlayStation as it is for Xbox, meaning that if you buy it on PlayStation 4 or on Xbox One, you'll automatically get it for free on next gen. So let's say it launches November 19th or whatever it is, and then the Xbox Series X and the PlayStation 5 come out December 3rd. You can just go ahead and buy it, start playing it for a couple weeks, and then upgrade it. And they're going to have a little bit of a graphical upgrade to start with, is my understanding, and then they're planning a big upgrade in 2021. So it is technically a PS4 Xbox One series title or generation title. It will continue to be that. You'll be playing it as a backwards compatible title in the next gen, but they're going to make a little enhancement to it. So you will get also a little bit of next gen benefit to it with next gen stuff. And then sometime next year, they'll give you an actual next gen version of the game, is the plan. So we'll see what happens. Wouldn't be the least bit surprised if the thing gets delayed again. Remember, the first release date was in March, and so we're already way past that. We'll see what happens going forward. I'm hopeful, but not super optimistic that we'll see Cyberpunk this year.
I'm not, and I don't care. Because, like I said before, when this thing comes out, it's going to completely dwarf everything.
Yeah. And it's one that I want you to release right. You know, I don't want it to come out and it be super buggy, and then it's like 2 months for them to fix the bugs, and then it feels like it's released, you know, but you've already played it, and then like it's better and you missed out, you know, like another complaint I read a couple of times is that the user interface is clunky, just menus and that kind of stuff, inventory. Like, get that right, you know, like, but spend a little bit of time getting that right. Don't put that out as an update next February. You know, like, get it right now and release it in February as a package that's done.
Speaking of updates, I met a cousin of mine for the first time, like, Thursday or Friday. And we started talking about stuff, and he's probably listening to the show. His name's JW. And I spent a good hour with him the other day, and so we started talking about games, because that's what you and I do, and he's one of these people that doesn't know about Steam, doesn't have any of that. He just has an Xbox. He's got an Xbox One, and he was asking me about Xbox One, and I didn't have the heart to tell him that we wouldn't touch it. But he brought up something about Red Dead on the PC. He looked at me and he said, "Have you played with the mods?" And it was all I could do to go, "Dude, there's mods?" I was trying really hard not to totally geek out. So that, you talk about something that we need to play around with, it's mods in Red Dead.
Yep.
Like, that's ridiculous.
Yep, 100%.
So, yep. JW, that was a great conversation. I had no clue, buddy, but I'm going to go look as soon as that thing goes on sale in the Epic Games Store. I can't imagine Red Dead with my, like, that's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it should be phenomenal.
Yeah.
All that said, we will be back soon. We've got a roundtable coming up. We've got lots of gaming to talk about. It is still a fun time of year, even if we didn't get E3 in the traditional form. It's still newsy and exciting, and we have great games to play and to talk about.
Yes, we do, and I'm glad to be here. I wouldn't be anywhere else. Are we 16 yet?
I don't know.
I think we are. I think we sort of slept on our anniversary.
I think we did too.
and it's crazy to be where we are after 16 years and talking about stuff that we're talking about and still enjoying playing games the way that we do. We hope you guys will hang with us, because it's going to feel like a whole like he said, till Cyberpunk comes out. But man, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun. You know where our email is, gaminguncensored@gmail.com. I think we have yet another segment from Brigham. Yeah.
We've got a handful of segments we need to get into.
Yes.
That's a good point. That'll be coming soon, too.
We got to throw those in there. There's a rumor that that guy's coming down to this neighborhood. I don't know how we're going to do that at all.
Yeah.
But apparently he's coming here to see us, and that's going to be interesting. Can you imagine him and I and you in a room? Holy cow.
It'd be a trip.
Yeah. So there's that. Other than that, the voicemail line. What's the voicemail line number?
509-GAME-210.
If you want to leave us a voicemail, you can leave us a voicemail. We will play it eventually. I don't know whenever we're going to get back to segments we really need to.
We promise.
Though.
We will.
So definitely leave a message there if you would like. Other than that, I think that's about everything. I'm Jamie. That's Tommy. This is Gaming Uncensored's continuing coverage of entertainment provided by idiots. And it's only on Gaming Uncensored, and we are out! Is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.